JB and Billy have done the Harold Holt.
And now we can't find them.
Where do I wake up?
Where do I wake up?
So we're giving you the very best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
That's the gold you don't get anywhere else.
This is the Rush Hour Reheated.
The Olympics are just a couple of weeks away, Pat, and we had a chance to chat to canoe and kayak superstar Jessica Fox.
Yes, come on, Foxy. We also share stories about being starstruck. Happens to everyone who walks past me, Jim.
They're probably just staring at your massive guts. Also, we found out that Bill wasn't in the Victorian team of the century. So we had a look at the New South Wales team of the century, and he wasn't in there either.
Oh, shut up. And I'll finish it off with a joke, of course, which everyone will love. But next, we go back to the reason we all spent 2 weeks in lockdown. Bloody South Australia, Jim.
Am I hitting the opener, Jim?
Oh, he's not happy. Mm. He's not happy, our man.
Triple M advises the following segment may contain coarse language, adult themes, and excessive yelling. Kids in cars, you've been warned.
Three, two, one. It's time for the big bloke to explode. This is Billy's Bake.
I'm not happy, Jim. Not happy. Bill is not happy, Jim!
I heard you!
Well, just don't sit there with that stupid look on your face. A bloke returns from India to Australia, Jim.
Yes.
He doesn't have coronavirus. They send him to quarantine in Adelaide. While he's there, guess what happens, Jim?
What happens?
The f*** gets coronavirus! Then, Jim, he leaves Adelaide, comes to Melbourne and sprays it around the northern suburbs like weed killer, Jim! Every f***'s got it now!
Bill, he didn't know he had it. He tested negative.
Shut up, you entitled one! He's not what I'm angry about, Jim. You know who can properly get
who?
Stephen Marshall.
Well, the Premier of South Australia.
Yes, Jim! The Premier of South Australia! After this bloke infects half of the northern suburbs of Melbourne, guess what old Stephen does? Mm. And I'll quote him.
Go on.
Immediately and aggressively, we will shut the borders with suburban Melbourne. Steve, old mate, you take him in when he's healthy. Then you infect the with the most aggressive strain of this virus. You send him back over here to us, all hell breaks loose. Then you aggressively shut the borders. Well, you can aggressively get
fat.
Adelaide's a dump anyway, Jim. Anywhere that's produced you is a shithole.
I actually came from
Perth. And that's a shithole too, don't you say Perth. Adelaide, Geelong's got bigger buildings than Adelaide, Jim. Tex with his stupid ears. Prison bar jumpers. Redbacks can't win a game, Jim. Only one city with one highway.
No more.
Cross Lotto. Let's buy the budget to watch the footy. What a
No more.
Oh no.
He's just strafed the entire state.
The whole joint.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I said, hey, champ, what's going on here? He said, Spandau Ballet.
Spandau.
So I go...
So I'm with Elise on Sunday, Fat, and we go down to the True South, beautiful down there.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice pub on the beach, Black Rock.
Oh, nice.
So I slide down there on quite often on a Sunday. The lamb shoulder is elite.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my idiot older brother rings me. What are you doing? I said, oh, actually, Elise and I are just at Black Rock having a one off the wood. He goes, well, we're coming down. He said, he's playing golf. He's caught behind four or five groups of four that were not budging. And he said, it's starting to rain and I'm not completing the 18 holes.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming down. We'll have a glass of wine with you. I said, yeah, sweet. Who are you with? He said, Angus. I said, righto. See you down there. Where he was playing golf was only just up the road.
Yep.
So I walk into the True South pit because we're out the front and I'm ordering a couple of beers. And I see this young fella dressed top to toe in Melbourne gear.
Mm.
So he's got Melbourne jumper, Melbourne shorts, Melbourne footy socks. He would have been about 8 or 9, I reckon.
Ah, lovely.
So anyway, his mum and dad are there. He's sitting there. I'm standing there waiting to be served. And I turn to this young fella. I said, how are you, mate? He goes, I'm good, thanks. Very polite young man. Mm. I said, there's someone coming down here in about 5 minutes who you'll be very happy to see. He goes, who's that? I said, who wears number 10 for Melbourne? He goes, Angus Brayshaw. I said, yeah.
Geez, well, he's onto it.
Yep. He's on his way down here. You'll be able to have a photo with him, say hello. And his eyes lit up.
Oh, bang.
Yeah, out on beanstalks. Mm. Anyway, so I thought, good. He'll have a good time. That's good for the young fella. I haven't moved because the people in front of me were getting served. He turns to his dad.
And says.
He goes, how does he know Angus Brayshaw? Lisa's parked behind me. He goes.
You automatically thought that.
Sucked in.
He knew who you were, Jim. He's eight, Jim. How's he going to know who you are?
I don't care. I just knew that my better half would find that very funny. Sucked in, she reckons.
Good on her.
I said, he's fine. It's no problem. He goes, no. She said, no, you'll be upset. You'll think he should have known who you were. I said, no, I didn't.
Well, you are entitled, Jim. You're entitled. That's what you are.
Anyway, it made me think, Fat, because this kid was completely, when Gussie got down there, completely starstruck.
Yeah.
Like he almost couldn't get any words out. Had the photo talking about his favourite player and all the rest of it. Anyway, I'd gone back out the front having a
glass
of wine. Gus
had the helmet off?
No, he had the helmet off. But it made me think. I remember being at the airport, Fat. I reckon I was about 13 or 14. And the Australian cricket team, so that would have been early 80s, 81, 82, around there.
Superstars.
Australian cricket team were going through the airport.
Yep.
Now, Greg Chappell, a man I've become actually bloody good mates with, but that stage didn't know at all, but he was my hero.
Yep.
Remember he had the beard?
Yes.
Back in the late part of his career, he had the beard. So he looked regal.
Regal.
And Bill, he was the Australian captain and the best player, and I wanted to bat like him. Yep. I wanted to stand at the crease like him.
The scoop.
He was my hero. So Dad, of course, as you know, had played lots of cricket for many years for WA with Rod Marsh and Dennis Lilly and Kim Hughes. So I knew all of them.
Yeah.
They couldn't give a stuff about any of them. The one man I wanted to meet was Greg Chappell.
Yeah.
So I'm standing back, minding my own business. He came over and he said, hello, you're Sticks' son, are you?
Yeah.
Oh. And I, you know, because obviously nice. Dad had played against him for years. You're Sticks' son. I've given it that. Bill, I couldn't get any words out. He said, you're going to Pembroke in Adelaide? Yeah. I couldn't get the bloody vocal cords to work.
I know what it's like, Jim, don't worry. I know how you feel.
He must have walked away going, geez, Sticks
of
kids no good.
I think
he's underwhelming.
I think he rang up Sticks and said, I think your kids are
mute. What's wrong with your kids?
He's a mute. He can't talk. He can't
get any words out. It's the only time in my life when I've been legitimately starstruck. I couldn't speak.
Well, I'm just trying to think if I have. Well, Kerry Packer was in a room and he walked in one day.
He's scary.
Well, he's big.
Yes.
Well, he was big. He's a big man, like big barrel chested.
Oh, yeah.
And you heard all those stories about him and all that. And he walked in and you didn't even see him walk in, but you knew he was in the room. You just felt the presence, mate. Oh, he was scary.
What about you, Bartholomew? Have you ever been starstruck meeting anyone?
Warnie, when he came in, I was working at Sports Mart and I had a cricket ball and I couldn't actually ask him and he just grabbed it and signed it for me. Yep. But now you see him everywhere.
But he's legitimate a global superstar, Warnie. So that's a fair starstruck.
Reminds me, Jim, down the pub last Saturday and Simo and Barry Stoneham come in.
Narra
was there and Bazza. And this bloke was in there with a Geelong jumper he wanted signed. So I'd signed it. I said, Sean Simpson, you want his? He played 123 games. He looks at me and goes, no.
Nah. Oh, Narra.
Then I go, Barry Stoneham, one of the greats for the Cats. He looks at me and goes, no. Nah. And I was the only one that signed it. And they
took wanted
off.
Your signature over Barry Stoneham.
Over Barry Stoneham and poor old Narra.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Are you fluent in piano?
No, I'm not.
Are you fluent
in piano?
Our next guest is an Olympic bronze and silver medalist and a seven-time world championship gold medalist in canoe, slalom and kayak.
Jessica Fox of Australia smashes the race lead, takes back-to-back wins.
In Tokyo, she'll be looking to win her first Olympic gold medal and cement her status as the greatest paddler of all time. Please welcome Jessica Fox.
Jessica Fox, welcome to you.
thank you. What an intro.
Yours is one of the more incredible resumes, actually. 26-time World Cup gold medalist, Bill. But not only that, extraordinary family with mum and dad, of course, and auntie. Also your younger sister and your auntie. It's a family that is extraordinary in its achievements, Jess.
Yeah, thank you. They'll all be happy to hear that too. Look, I'm very lucky to have had such great support around me and to have the family that's part of the sport as well. It's just a shared passion, I guess, to be able to go on this ride together.
So your mum, of course, won a bronze medal at the Atlanta Olympics in 96, and she's also your coach. How do you go being coached by your mum? Because I'll flip it around.
It's
my
not
dad
for
was
everyone.
I could not have been coached by my father.
No.
Yeah, no, look, it's not for everyone, I guess, but with mum, it's what I've always known as well, and she knows me better than anyone, so we have a great relationship, and obviously sometimes the lines are blurred between the coach comes home sometimes and then the mum comes to training sometimes, but yeah, no, look, she's my secret weapon, and very special to have her in my corner.
Now, the event you do, the broken water kayaking, is firstly an extraordinarily difficult sport.
Oh, I know.
But secondly, a bit of it's up for chance too, Jess, because no two run is the same, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. And there's no world records or personal best times or anything because every course is different around the world and every course on each venue as well that they set is different. So at the Olympics, we'll have one race course that is set for the heat and then they'll change it for the semi-finals and we'll race one run for the semi-final, and then if you make the final, you get to race again on that course.
Tell us about the luck element to it. Yeah. Can you just get your run started at a good time, maybe?
I mean, these days, as we compete on whitewater artificial courses, the variability of the water level changing and things like that is much lower than what it used to be for, say, my mum who raced in Atlanta. And, you know, even me, I raced in Italy one time and between the first and the last paddler, the water level went up half a metre. So that doesn't usually happen. But what might change at the Games is more the wind. So, you know, you could be starting your race and the wind picks up and that means that the gates move a little bit. So it does add that extra level of difficulty, but you know, we're an outdoor sport and we're competing with the elements as well.
What did you do in lockdown? Because we saw the tennis players, they played tennis in their rooms and triathletes were running around the house. What do you do if you're a canoeist?
Well, if you've got a swimming pool, you can jump in the pool and do a couple of turns, but there's only so much you can do with a 3.5 meter kayak in a 7 meter pool. I got creative at home as well and just sort of did a lot of home gym workouts and use my kayak, which weighs 9 kilos, as a weight for pull-ups and things like that. So, it was kind of fun maybe for the first week to just get creative and then we were like, okay, I'm sick of the TikTok challenges. Let's get to work.
Do you, as part of your sport, I know this is more for the flat water rowers, but do you have to do seated row ever? Because for me, that is the single worst thing you can do in a gym.
The rowing machine?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
Thank
God. We go forwards, though. The rowers go backwards, and they do that ergo. But I'm not a fan of the ergo. We use a kayak version of the ergo, and, it's not my favourite thing. I did a little bit of that in lockdown as well.
No. Nightmare. It's horrific, Bill. And your head starts to get all light.
I know.
You feel like you're going to pass out.
No, you can't breathe. I had a heart attack. I had to get off.
Did you have a heart attack?
You know where the sign says if you feel dizzy?
Yep.
I felt dizzy, so I got off. Yeah. Hey, Jess, I got something for
you. Sounds like you work hard.
No, oh, Bill.
I don't, no. I'm fat as a fool.
Bill?
I'm bilingual, just like you, by the way.
Oh, what's your second language?
French, like you.
Oh.
Well, go on.
Well, we could do this whole segment in French if you like.
Salut, Jess, J, Apple, Billy. Any idea what that
Well, I mean, you said hello, Jess. My name's Billy, but, was it perfect? Work on the accent.
We.
Thank you, Bill.
And the chomps are lessee.
Oh, my God.
Now, you're going to have to be strong, too. You must do a lot of weights, because when you're in the canoe gym, there is a lot of weight, upper body strength, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. We do a lot of pull-ups and the seated row machine as well, a lot of back work. Too, so the bench pull, there's a bench press too, but it is a very, we've got to do a lot of core work as well for the chain for your back, so like deadlifts and things come into play too, but a lot of dynamic core exercises as well.
How, Hey, Jess, good luck. Oh. We're not going to hold you up any longer, but it would be one of the great stories. You've already had an extraordinary career, as we heard at the top, but yeah. A silver and a bronze. We're adding gold in Tokyo for you. Good luck.
Thank you so much, guys.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Now, Jim, I've got the awkward of all awkwardness. Awkward with a capital A.
2019.
Mm-hmm.
The New South Wales team of the century, greatest team of all time, was announced.
Yes,
2019.
Yes, right, yes.
All right, so the selection panel, Mike Sheehan, Richard Collis, of course, former Sydney Swans chairman, Jared Healy, Brownlow medalist, who we heard from earlier in the week, gay Barley trainer, who's an AFL commissioner, Sam Graham, noted AFL historian Miles Wilkes.
It's a good footy brains.
Ian Granlund.
Ian Granlund.
Rod Gillett. Anyway.
Yep.
So there's very, as Reb said, very esteemed brains putting this team together. The New South Wales greatest team of all time.
Oh, looking so forward to this.
The coach is Alan Jeans, of course, picks himself.
And who else?
And the great Neil Danaher.
Right. Beautiful.
Hungary, Nilo. Yes. And then I looked through the side.
Righto.
And I'm not going to name everyone. No. I could, but I won't. I'll just pick out the, so Leo Barry,
for
instance.
Let's go to the forward line.
Leo Barry is your centre half. Oh, your fullback, sorry. Yeah. Rossi Henshaw next to him, of course, premiership player
Dennis
times two.
Carroll.
And then you got Jared McVeigh.
Yeah.
Halfback. Gordon Strang, of course. Dennis Carroll on the other halfback flank. Shane. Into the middle, we have Shane Crawford from Finley. Lenny Hayes, the great man, Pennant Hills.
Yes.
Neil Davies on the other side.
Oh, here we go.
And then we get to the forwards.
Here we go.
So this is where it gets interesting.
The greatest team of all time.
Terry Danaher, 300 gamer, premierships everywhere for Essendon.
Not bad.
Wayne Carey, the greatest footballer the game's ever seen from North Wagga.
Yep.
And then on the other half forward flank, Luke Bruce.
Now,
there's four premierships for Hawthorn for Luke Bruce.
Luke Bruce.
So he's, and then we go to full forward.
Oh, here we go.
In the forward pocket.
Here we go.
Paul Kelly.
Mm. He's not a forward.
He's a Brownlow medal winning star.
He's a singer.
John Longmire over the other side, of course.
Horse.
Horsey Longmire. Horsey. And then Wilbur.
Who? Me. Brownless. Bill.
Wilbur Moore. It's the full forward.
Who?
So I get through the 18 on the ground.
I'm looking at him
because
up.
He's not going to be a follower, of course.
No,
Brett Kirk's in there.
Could
the great Hayden Bunton, of course. So no sign of Bill. So then I go to the bench.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, surely he appears somewhere there. Tommy Hawkins.
Yeah.
Three premierships.
Oh.
And goals. Or do you play in two? Hawk, do you play in that first one, 07?
No.
Well, still two.
Yeah.
Just, anyway, still magnificent. Kieran Jack.
Mm. Who?
Isaac Smith.
No.
Four premierships for him. No. Mark Sellers McClure, a three-time premiership player.
Surely Anthony William. Where is he?
There's the whole team, not a mention of Bill. Which Rabs, to be fair, you and I would not have thought he'd get in anyway.
Ahead of Wilbur.
But then.
Jim, looking up Bill Moore.
Old Wilbur Moore.
Moore was Australian rules footballer who represents St Kilda during the 30s.
That's it.
During the 30s,
he's a full forward.
He was 182 centimetres and 80 kilos.
St Kilda team of the century.
So then I move on to additional squad members.
Oh, no,
this is where it gets real interesting.
Oh, surely, Bill.
So
come on,
attached
fat.
To the additional squad members are people like Dane Rampey.
Yes.
An unbelievable career. David Murphy.
Yeah, good player.
Ricky Quaid.
Good player.
Bernard Toohey.
Hard, tough.
Daniel Cross.
Surely, Jim, sure.
Bill.
Purse.
I've gone all the way through. I've ended up at Purse Bushby.
From Narendra. He's from Narendra, Jim.
Purse Bushby is in there, and there is no word of fat.
Come on, Jim.
Not mentioned even in the additional squad members.
Well, I'm telling you, Longmire out, Brownless in there, or Hawkins out, Brownless in there. Because back in 2014, I'll take you back to the 10 greatest players from New South Wales, was Lenny Hayes, Wayne Carey, Bunton. Well, Hayden Bunton didn't get in that
side.
No,
he did. He's in
Danaher, Paul Kelly, Crawford, Longmire, McVeigh, and Bill Brownless at number 9. There we go. And who was on his way to a underrated 198-game career.
All right. So
what does that mean, underrated?
Purse Bushby.
Purse, what did he do?
Oh, Purse won the Essendon Best and Fairest 1944.
Yes.
Played in the 42 and 46 premiership teams.
At where at?
At Essendon.
Oh.
And played 142 games and kicked 46 goals.
46, old
so
Purse.
So fat.
Come on, Purse.
Purse has got you covered. He's in the squad when you have got not a mention attached.
I think I might have been a Victorian, maybe.
Oh,
what about ACT?
So now you're changing states.
ACT, I'm going to. I'll get in the AT.
Bill.
CT side.
So that's actually pretty embarrassing.
ACT. I'll get in the ACT side.
Fat.
Oh, crikey.
You're not even in the extended squad.
Well,
that's pretty embarrassing.
No, you know what that is, Jim? That's disappointing. I give me all for New South Wales and the Allies. I'm their leading goal kicker. Can you look up leading goal kicker Allies?
We can't be bothered looking that shit up.
Look it up. Can't be bothered. Look it up now.
He couldn't give a about how many goals you kick for the Allies, and neither could anyone else, by the way. So there's the illustrious footy career of Fat Brownless. There are 45 people mentioned. He doesn't even get in the top 45.
Who the f*** is Purse Busby?
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. End the day with a laugh. We've picked out a classic Billy's joke on the Rush Hour Reheated. The best of JB and Billy.
You've been working on this one for 3 days, he
said. I have wrote it out longhand.
I did longhand. It's a joke, but also a bit of a history lesson, Jim. For
this
you,
is where things go wrong.
For Jim, for you, and for the Rush Hour listeners, okay? So I'm going back here into the Second World War, Jim, days,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And the Japanese boys were having a big night out on one of their aircraft carriers, right? Huge night. There was plenty of beer and sake. There was plenty of rice and fish and soup and sushi. And there was a bit of entertainment, Jim, if you don't mind. You're listening?
I'm listening. A bit of entertainment, if you don't mind.
Great night. Everyone enjoying themselves, okay?
Yes.
Next minute, the big boss, the Admiral, stands up and addresses the room. Tomorrow, at 700 hours, you will get in your planes and fly 2 hours east and crash your planes into the American warships. You will die as heroes. You will be known as kamikaze pilots, and you will be loved and revered all round the world. You will go down in Japanese history as heroes. I wish you all the best. Good luck. Are there any questions? A little Japanese pilot, Jim, down the back of the room, raises his hand and he says, "Are there any questions?" Jim, are there any questions?
No, I heard it, Bill.
Mate.
I think it's just occurred to that one up the back that this is a different style of mission from the one he signed
up
for.
He's having one of his great nights of all time with a bit of entertainment, frothies.
No. He spent 3 days researching what they drank and ate.
That's it. That's it.
Not bad. Not bad.
Good work, Jim. Well done, Bill.
Enough from you, Fat.
Well done, Bestie.
This has been the Rush Hour Reheated. JB and Billy are back Monday from 6. Download the Listener app and tune in wherever you are and whenever you want.